The following is a recording from the sermon files of the Beacon Church of Christ. To God be the glory always. Let me say a brief word about our Bible classes before we get started with this afternoon's lesson, if you will. We're starting a new Bible class in the adult classes on Sunday mornings at 9:45. We're studying Ezra and Nehemiah. This is a wonderful, wonderful class. We went through basically an overview of those books this morning. And this is a great topic for a congregation that's trying to build itself back up. And so if you are not taking advantage of the Bible classes, please consider doing that. I've also got an article written in the bulletin you may have seen trying to implore all of us to take advantage of our Bible classes here. These are wonderful, wonderful things. And really an asset to this congregation. And we've got several people who are willing to take their time and teach those Bible classes, and we're so thankful for all of them. And they put a lot of effort into that. And so let's all try to do our best to be there and support that if we can, and appreciate everybody that is taking advantage of that and supporting that. Now, I want to transition into the lesson for this afternoon. And I want to talk to you about some things that we're currently dealing with as parents. We're trying to train a two-year-old how to speak properly and to not use foul language. Now, foul language to a two-year-old is a little bit different than foul language to us sometimes. For instance, I have to really be careful when I'm using terms such as S-T-U-P-I-D. If I say that word, Andrew will be very quick to say, "Bad word, Daddy. Bad word." And so we're trying to train him to notice that he doesn't need to be saying words like that. There are some other words that we're training him that he doesn't need to be saying. When he gets a little older, he's unfortunately going to hear some words that we all recognize as cuss words, curse words, that he should not be saying as well. And so I want us to talk about for a moment this afternoon the idea of no corrupt communication. This principle of no corrupt communication is found in the Bible. And if we are going to be godly Christians, then we need to be very careful with how we use our speech. James said that the tongue is, although it's very small, it's a powerful member of our bodies. It's like a fire. It's not tamed very easily. It can quickly rage like a fire out of control, like a wildfire. It's like a horse that is not easily bridled. You ever seen someone try to train a horse in the early days of that horse's life? It's not an easy task. And sometimes you get a particularly stubborn horse who's really difficult to train. The tongue is like a rudder on a mighty ship, and that very small piece of that ship controls the direction of the ship. James teaches us this in James 3, verses 3 through 8. Now, I want you to look at Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 is where we get our title for this sermon this afternoon. No corrupt communication. This verse says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." I want you to notice this. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Sometimes we let little dirty words slip out, and we say, "Oh, well, that slipped. It's no big deal." This verse says that we are to let no corrupt communication come out of our mouths. That means a Christian should constantly be vigilant to not use improper speech. Now, this is not negotiable. It should never be the case that a Christian utters a corrupt word, as we see here. So, let me ask you a question. What is considered corrupt? Well, first of all, we need to understand what this term corrupt means.
If we look at the Greek meaning of the word corrupt, we'll find that it means this: rotten and worthless. Think about your speech just today. Have you ever said anything today or within the past week that was worthless, worthless speech, or rotten, decayed speech, something that really is just not something we ought to be participating in? Now, this definition makes a lot of sense when we look at what Jesus said in Matthew 12, verses 36 through 37. Jesus says this: "But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Every idle word, we're going to give an account for that. "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned." Every word that we utter in this life, it's like God's keeping a tally of that. He's keeping a running total of the words that we are using. And so we need to be very careful about that. If we're using idle words, not I-D-O-L, but I-D-L-E, worthless words, we better watch out, because that is not the kind of speech that we ought to be speaking. So what are some examples then of sinful speech, the speech that a Christian should never have in his life? Well, obviously, curse words, however you want to call that, four-letter words, we may say, as many of those type words have four letters in them. But not just curse words. There are many other things that we must not have in our lives as Christians. What about cuss word substitutes? Now, I realize that there are some that think this is okay, but let's think about that for a moment. I'll tell you, sometimes I don't use cuss words, but I've used these substitutes sometimes. I'm not going to give any example of those, but I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. When we consider what Jesus said about idle words, worthless words, words that are just exclaimed and they don't really have any good meaning to them, then those words, the equivalents of cuss words, although they're milder forms, are still idle. They're not something that we really need to have in our vocabulary. And so we need to consider this. Now, let me give you a couple of examples. For instance, we're familiar with the D word. Sometimes we like to replace that with the dad words. You know what I'm talking about? Dad Blaine, or dad nabbit, or dad gum, my personal favorite. Dad gum. You know, we don't view those words as cuss words, but they're still worthless words. And we need to consider that. They're idle words. And so I'm trying to cut even those phrases out of my vocabulary. But what are some other examples of some speech that we should not have because it's corrupt speech? What about scatological humor? Now, if you're not familiar with the term scatological, that's a dignified way of talking about fecal matter. Now, if we are running around telling jokes about fecal matter or making light of that, that's not really something that Christians ought to be saying. This is something that's favorite of 12-year-old boys. That's the favorite joke of 12-year-old boys. But we need to grow past that and realize that that is not becoming of a Christian. Now, similar to that would be humor regarding parts of the body, and using that terminology and laughing at that, that's not becoming of a Christian. Or anatomical functions, that as well is not becoming of a Christian, to be laughing about these things and making light of them. We need to be careful about that. What about taking the Lord's name in vain? This is a big one. This is a common one. that people find themselves unfortunately doing this all the time. Well, this has always been wrong, making light of God's name. The third commandment in Exodus 20 and verse 7 says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." If we're running around using God's name flippantly, like it's just no big deal, and we're not truly giving reverence to his name, then God's not going to hold us guiltless for that. He's going to hold us guilty for that. I've mentioned before that the Jewish scribes, when they were writing down the Old Testament, they were copying it down from years to years. Every time that they saw what we have in our Bible, in the King James Version, as capitalized "the Lord," that was the name of God. The name of God. Sometimes we see YHWH, which translates to Yahweh or Jehovah. When they would see that term, they wouldn't even speak it. They were so scared that they might accidentally, irreverently say God's name. And so they wouldn't speak it. They would just write it down. And sometimes they would even replace it. Instead of saying God's name, they would say Adonai, which means master. They would replace it with that because they did not want to accidentally say God's name in a vain way. We need to be very careful about that. Now, there are some examples, and I'm going to say these for the purpose of teaching. So I'm not going to say these examples in a vain way. I'm saying these for the purpose of teaching, but we need to really be careful and realize that we can't be saying these things in our day-to-day vocabulary. Things like, "Oh my God," exclaiming that, using that as an exclamation, or "thank God," and we're not really thanking him, we're just saying that kind of flippantly. That is taking the Lord's name in vain. Or, "Oh my Lord," the same thing. Or sometimes you hear "Lordy, Lordy," and that's kind of used as a laughing type thing. We shouldn't be saying that, defaming our Lord's name. Sometimes we see OMG, the acronym. That's the same thing. That's the same thing as saying, "Oh my God." We should not be saying that. That is sinful. Even worse, sometimes we see God's name mixed in with cursing. Awful. Awful that people would use that in their language. But we see that because, again, our society has become so irreverent that we profane God's name like it's nothing to it. And that's a consequence of how far we have come in society. What's some more examples of profane speech, corrupt communication? What about innuendos? Innuendos, using jokes regarding marital relations, and joking about people who are not married doing those things, that is sin. That is sinful. Slang terminology for those things. Again, we should not be using that. What about mean-spirited words? Using words to hurt people. Using little barbs to stick someone. Or being what I call passive-aggressive. Sometimes I tend to be this way, and I try not to be, but we try to say something kind of underhandedly to barb someone. Well, we shouldn't be doing that either. And then, really, I want you to think about this. Any word could be used as a word we shouldn't be using. Let me give you an example. I could make the word toothpaste a curse word. I could. If every time I get mad and stump my toe and I don't want to use one of those quote-unquote real cuss words, I can make a cuss word out of toothpaste. Stump my toe, toothpaste, ow, ow! We shouldn't be doing that either, because that's using the same mindset. Or you could use any word. I just use that as an example. These are idle words, and we're going to give an account for that on the day of judgment. Again, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned." So we as Christians, We really should not be using expletives of any kind. Now, the term expletive we use to describe cuss words sometimes. But that term expletive is really a grammar term, and it's basically an interjection of saying some random word that doesn't fit with the sentence and just shouting it out like we can't really control ourselves in saying that. We shouldn't really be doing that. Perhaps in some situations of rejoicing, we may shout like, yay, or something like that. That's different. But if we're using idle words in an expletive form, we don't need to be doing that. Look at Ephesians 4:29 once again. It says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good unto the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." What is the purpose of our communication as Christians? We need to be building one another up. We need to be edifying one another, not tearing each other down. So how do we do that? I can tell you that we don't edify one another by using all those words that we just mentioned. That does not build up the body of Christ. It tears it down because it just think about that. If we go around using those type of terms, then are people seeing Christ reflecting in our lives, or are they seeing the world live in our lives? They're seeing the world. And so we have to be very, very careful. Instead of using these cuss words or quote-unquote milder forms of cuss words or all these other things that we've talked about, scatological terms, various things, taking the names, the Lord's name in vain. Instead of using that, Christians ought to be encouraging. We ought to be speaking light that we find in God's Word. That is what we ought to be doing. And we ought to be showing love to one another as well. We need to encourage one another. That is how we follow this verse. Now, I want us to consider several more verses for this afternoon, and the lesson will be ours. Now, these are just a few verses that are on this subject. If you look throughout the Bible, you can find many, many more, especially in places like Psalms and Proverbs. There are many verses that talk about how we should speak. First of all, notice Colossians 4 and verse 6. Colossians 4 and verse 6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt." That means we be very careful how we speak. And we speak in such a way that is becoming of Christians and is becoming of our love that we should have. "Seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Another thing we need to consider. When someone asks us a Bible question, we need to be careful and tactful and loving and give them a Bible answer. That doesn't mean that we compromise truth. We should never compromise truth. But we should also tell them in such a way that they can understand the content of our message, as well as understand that we love them and care about them. What about Matthew 15 and verse 11? Matthew 15 and verse 11 says, "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." That's talking about our words, using our tongue. It can defile us. And then Ephesians 5 and verse 4, it's talking about those things that are fitting or becoming of Christians. "Neither filthiness nor foolish talking," question, "the music that you listen to." Are there any foolish talking going on in that music? If so, then it's not becoming of a Christian. "Neither filthiness nor foolish talking," nor jesting, the idea of inappropriate joking, "which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." See, our mouths are made so that we can glorify God, give thanks to God, encourage one another, show love to one another, not these other things. What about James 1 and verse 26? "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Did you catch that? Do you see how serious a matter this is? If we are not controlling our tongues, then our religion is vain, empty. It does us no good. So this is extremely serious then. And so if this is something that is so serious that it can be the difference between our religion being right in the eyes of God and our religion being wrong in the eyes of God, then we need to ask God for help to control our tongues, to make sure that we're speaking properly. And so Psalm 141 in verse 3 says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips." You see, we need to ask God to help us. We need to be focused on His Word so much that we're thinking about good things and speaking about good things rather than wicked things. In Proverbs 18 and verse 21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Death and life. Our tongue makes a difference in whether or not we're going to be saved. "And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Do you love wicked things? Then your tongue's going to show that you love wicked things. If you love righteous things, your tongue's going to show that you love righteous things. Proverbs 15, verses 1 and 2, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pour out foolishness." If we are not wise with our manner of life, if we're not being as becoming of Christians, then that's going to show in our mouths. And then Proverbs 16 and verse 24 says, "Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." Pleasant words. If you focus on pleasant words, that's going to build you up. It's going to build others up around you rather than tearing down. How we speak as Christians is of utmost importance. No one should ever be turned off from Christianity by listening to us talk. Rather, they should see Christ living in us. They should see the light of God shining from us. We are the light of the world. We're a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. And so Jesus taught us that, and that would certainly include our speech. As we consider this evening, I hope that you will consider your speech. I hope that your speech is characteristic of a Christian. Now, I'll be honest with you, there's been times that my speech has not been characteristic of a Christian. And I know that many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, could say that. But that's where, when we look at God's Word and we read these things, we determine that we're going to do better. We're going to make up our minds not to use foul language, not to use these other things that we've talked about today. If there's anyone here this afternoon who is not living right before God, if you're not a Christian, then make up your mind to become a Christian today. You've heard God's Word. Believe. Believe that Word and believe that Christ came to be your Savior. Believe in Him and confess Him and repent of your sins. And in doing that, be baptized, immersed in water, so that you can be a Christian. I hope that you'll do that. There may be someone who has done that but is not living like a Christian. Your words aren't characteristic of a Christian. Your actions aren't characteristic of a Christian. Your priorities are not characteristic of a Christian. Then make up your mind to change that today. Whether you need to repent to yourself because these things are not well known, or these things may be well known and you want to come before the church and repent of those things, then you can do that as well. If you need to respond in any way, if you need to come forward asking for prayers, whatever we can do to help you, we'll be glad to do it as together we stand and sing.
You've been listening to a sermon from the Beacon Church of Christ. Perhaps you'd like to hear more of these sermons in person. We would love to have you visit our congregation. We are located at 2326 Jonesboro Road in West Monroe. Join us on Sundays at 9:45, 10:30, and 2, and Wednesday nights at 7. A warm welcome awaits you. Come see us soon.